HKX.
Sorry, I was just down there a while ago, but I tried to get ULP on the HF. I couldn't hear him more, but I could hear him a little bit, but he didn't hear me, and I was throwing 1,000 watts at him.
Probably so close you're not going to hear each other on that one, but you never know.
I talked to Dave for a half hour on there on that frequency, CBA.
Close enough then to where you're getting the ground wave, like you were saying. I may just be out of range of it. But you doubled with somebody the first time, so let's give him a chance to come in.
VHL, I'm still just hanging around.
Hi, Bill. I'm sorry I left there a while ago, but then Dave come over there and I could hear him clearly, but I couldn't hear you. Could you hear me, Bill?
I wasn't getting anything but static.
Roger. I can hear Dave clear as a bell. I think Dave is exit, get out of the way. Let me hit the detail here. Dave is 6.4 miles. Go ahead, Patrick.
He'd be inside that window and have a better setup than what Alexander's got up for an antenna.
And, I mean, I tried to find out how he had his radio set, and he wasn't real sure, so it may just be needing to learn a little more about his radio and setup and getting at the right time of day and right band conditions.
It's disheartening for a young man to get in the business when the sunspots are down and try to work 10 meters because their hopes are up and their dreams are up, and it usually just don't happen right now. However, in the afternoon now and then, I've seen a little bit. You'll get Venezuela or, you know, down in South America there, Argentina. They operate on 10 meters quite a bit. But not lately, not a whole lot. Here's Bolivia. Let me see just a second. Enter 10112. Enter. I'll see if I can hear Bolivia on here. No, that's a guy in Canada. Let's see if we hear the guy in Bolivia here. Ooh. He's real weak, probably below where I could possibly work him, but I work this guy. He's got a bunch of llamas. If you bring up Charlie Papa 4 Bravo Tango, CP4BT, you'll see his website is just full of pictures, Bill. Go ahead.
Again, Charlie Papa.
Roger. Charlie Papa 4 Bravo Tango.
I know this is going to sound like a silly question, but how closely does 10 meter follow like 11 meter on the openings?
That's technology still amazes me. Key in a number, see what somebody's up to, what they're doing, talk on the radio. I love it.
You doubled a little bit with Patrick. If you hit detail, it tells you how far away he is. He's 3,711.5 miles. Short path, long path is 21,145. And when I was here in Indonesia, I know from experience earlier, that was long path. So in other words, I was going out over Africa and clear back around to Indonesia rather than out over California. And you'll get to where, when the band comes back up, Bill, that you'll hear that in a, I call it an echoic type of transmission, and it'll usually happen in the late afternoon. and they'll be coming long past. So when I was in Kansas, I had a beam, and I always had to beam to the east in order to work Australia, for example, places like that. But anyway, Patrick, it's exactly the same as 11 meters to answer your question, if I had my opinion.
I just wanted some reference for it, because I'm more familiar with 11 meters than I am 10 meters growing up with my dad being a trucker.
And you can talk around the world on 5 watts if the sunspots are up. It was illegal, of course, but we all done it. I had CBs back in the 70s before it started getting filthy and dirty and stuff like that. You know how it got. But there was a lot of good folks on there for many, many years, and then it started going to the dogs. Go ahead, Bill.
And we all had our CB moments. I had mine growing up. It was back in the early 80s, it was the thing to have was a CB on your truck. And we had a lot of fun. Didn't get in too much trouble. We did blow out a few drive-through windows, talking on the radio while we were sitting in the drive-through, because we were all running amps. But that was all in fun. M4WHM.
About that, but just so you know, where you can talk on sideband on 11 meters now in the upper channels, it's actually pretty much like ham radio.
And they put cheaters on them with VFOs instead of staying crystal controlled. And one of my best friends, Eldon, he stepped on a landmine in Vietnam, and we tried to help him out a lot. And but when he was on CBs, he had a Browning radio, which was around $1,000, I think, way more than any of us had. And then he had a 600-watt amp, and he had a Moonraker antenna, which has, like, I don't know, 21 dBs of gain or something like that, I think, Bill. It was way up there. And he'd block all 23 channels. That was before they had 40, when he'd key that mic. And that Browning had a distinct ding to it.
Those radios, they do have a very distinct sound to them. And no doubt what they are when they key up.
I always enjoyed listening to that. I didn't get to grow up with it much, but when I was real young, I remember it.
I had a D104 mic, and I can't remember the brand of the radio right now. It was a good one, but it wasn't anything like that. And it had a penetrator antenna. But those Moonraker antennas were huge. They were beams, and had a rotator on them, of course. Man, I mean, if he cranked that thing up, and he caused a lot of hate and discontent on there with that. A lot of complaints. But and the reason he did was he drank a lot. Up until he met his second wife, I think, wasn't it, Bernice? And she said, no more drinking or I'm out the door. And, you know, he never did. And he become a ham and worked his way up to extra class. And he was totally blind. But I've worked quite a few blind operators on CW on HF, and they are excellent operators. They really are. And then Billy over here, that's the head of this, I can't remember the name of that band now. It's a real good repeater system that's been down a while. He's just an amazing person with his accomplishments, and he was visually impaired from the time he was a little boy, and I don't know how many repeaters he's run, and the heads of different bureaus and things, and just an exceedingly great ham radio operator. But the SC Heart System, and man, he's a good one. He has a 9 call. I can't remember it right now, Bill. Go ahead, Patrick. This is NZRLTR.
No, don't know. It's starting to rain up here on 25 just a little bit, so there goes all the salt they put down before this bad storm gets here. And, yeah, I've been studying up on that SE Hart a little bit, trying to get more familiar with it.
I've heard SE Hart mentioned, but I'll be honest with you, I don't even know what it is. I'm ignorant on that subject.
What's your wife? And but I wasn't supposed to tell you that. But shoot. Well, Bill, it's a very fine repeater system, and they're linked, and you can talk all over the state on them. However, I don't know what the situation is right now, but I do know that it was down for several months. And you can just look it up in your repeater book or online. And they do some emergency nets, and they're very disciplined on those emergency nets. I've listened to them, but I never got involved very much. Just a great repeater system. And when they link them together, heck, you can talk down to Charleston or all over the place, Columbia, very easily, reliably. But you'd have to ask somebody else that really is familiar with it. I'm no expert on it. I never did use it too much. But it was always up for years since we've been down here. However, I don't know if it is now or not. I can't remember the frequency it was on, Bill, so I can't help you out there, but maybe Patrick can. This is N0TR. Go ahead, Patrick.
The frequency, I want to say it's 145.300, but don't double-check me on that one for sure. Is the local one there in Greenville, but they are all linked together, and I don't know if they're down or not, but I thought I heard them today doing the net. Check in, so I may be wrong.
Go ahead, Bill.
Y'all explained it. I do remember a little about that because they used to link them up, or what I remember it, or what I remember is they would link them up on Friday or Saturday night to do the statewide net. And, like I said, you could call from here to Hilton Head. Just had a little lag in the link, but it worked just clear as a bell. I remember that back from a few years ago, where I was doing nothing but 2 meter. But yeah, I forgot all about that. M4WHM.
Hey, Bill, also they're on DMR network, but it's a closed network. You can't use your hotspot to get to it. But if you do get into one of the repeaters, like if you can get into the one in Anderson, which will probably be the closest one to you, then you can talk all the way up here on your DMR radio all over the state, as long as there's not an emergency. And if I'm understanding it correctly, that goes into some of Virginia and some of Texas and Tennessee and North Carolina also.
The Anderson repeater from here with my DMR radio, I have to be using my external antenna, but yeah, I can hit it. So I'll have to do a little research on that. That's something we need to turn Alexander on to, is DMR. I'd let him talk around the world until he gets his general license, and he can buy him a DMR radio for $125.
That would be an excellent suggestion for that young man. I mean, he likes to talk. And I don't have that capability, but I got the HF, and I use mostly CW. And I thoroughly enjoy it because I can just about work anything I want anytime I want. And that's no brag. It's just a fact. It's just a strong mode. And it took some work. It takes elbow grease. And don't get burned out on it, Bill. Get you a set of paddles, like a bencher. And I know KO4NUE got him a bencher. And that's what Gary uses down there. Get that and practice a half hour at a time and then walk away. And or you can do it more than once a day if you want, but don't sit there for 2 or 3 hours and do it. I had Jerry Ziliak tapes were the finest I ever had, but you can't find them no more. And he was W6MC, I think, out of California. And I learned clear up through 20 words a minute with it. And they were much better than ARRLs. They were much better than anything else out there at the time. I started out trying to learn it with a straight key, and it just ruined me. Now, some guys swear by it, but I absolutely do not recommend a straight key to start out with. You can do it later. Do it with the your set of paddles, and your iambic, I think is what they call it, and not a bug. A bug is very difficult to master, and very few people use it effectively. But I like the paddles, and I've got a lot better key now, but it doesn't work any better than the bencher did. And it's to tell you the truth, I just wanted one that did a slide around because of my heavy hand. So I got one made out of bronze. And but don't go out and spend $400 or $500 on a Benelli or whatever they call them, Bigali. It's not worth the money to start out with. But that's my recommendation, and I don't know which ones are the best now. I'm sure ARRL, and that's improved. I also highly recommend looking at QST. I give Chad a copy of it the other day, and they have the frequencies that they transmit on every single day. And at a certain time, and they do it from 5 words a minute, clear up through 35. And when you listen to that, you're hearing the fading, which we call QSB, Baker. And you're hearing all the idiosyncrasies of CW over the different bands. And, of course, different bands are good at different times of day, 40 meters at night, 160 meters at night, 80 meters at night. 20 meters, 17, or no, they don't use 17 for that. 20 meters, your regular bands, you know, 10 meters, 15 meters. They transmit on that every day at a certain time, several times a day. And that's a good way to learn also, after you get started a little bit, of course. N4WHM, N0TR.
Mistake and googled CW paddles, and now I'm more confused than I was when I started. There must be a bloody billion of them. Double paddles, different things, all kind of stuff. And they range anywhere from $25 to $300.
Just go to HRO and look at Mincer. And they're chrome, they're very pretty key, and they're paddles, iambic paddles. And look on there, on their website, and they got them, Bill, and I think they're about $100.
For HKX, guys, I'm going to say 7-3s. I'm in the black hole, so I don't know how well you can hear me. I've enjoyed the QSO on the way home this evening. Okay, for HKX, now I'm clear, 7-3s.
Good to hear you, Patrick. And the pleasure's all mine, as we say on HF 73. And you take care and stay out of that ice over the weekend. And you don't want to lose that nice new truck. And enjoy the extra day off there on Monday. I think everybody's got the day off. And back to you, Bill.
Hopefully, weather won't be too bad at your house. Looks like you're in the snow line, and I'm in the ice line, so I hope it doesn't get too bad. But anyway, be safe. 73 is my friend. We'll talk to you later. Important attention.
You order those from HRO, and you'll probably have them the very next day. And they're a great way to learn. Now, let me check here. Your radio will give you the option. Put the DITS. That's the speed I usually run. I was just saying test there. Put the DITS on the left finger and the DAWs on the right finger. That's selectable in your menu and your radio.
Yeah. Do you know which bench or paddle you were talking about? I see several at HRO, but I don't know which one's which.
Hold on a second here. I got a catalog in front of me, and I got to get back to the keys. I have one of them ICOM, those 7851s.
It may end up becoming a paperweight in my office, so I just need a one that'll do the job, a good one, kind of like my radio, a good one.
Well, they're only a mere, 12,000-13,000. I haven't looked at them recently. That's what Bob's got, but it's he bought his used. But they are a nice radio, but wow, they are pricey.
I couldn't see having that much in a radio. I guess depending on your circumstances, you could, but I'm more of a practical. I'd rather have a couple of smaller ones than one big one.
Yeah, you and me both. Wow, these things have went up. And the Iambic series, Iambic paddles by series, but it says, it says Bencher on them. They have black or chrome, and I don't think it matters to you which one you get. I had a black one, but they went up in price. They're $164.95. It is a BY-1, Bravo Yankee-1. Can you bring that up?
Let's see. The black one is, says $169 on the website. Lambic Gear Paddle BY-1 Black Base. And then there's a, the chrome is a little more expensive.
But that's about all it is. Let me key that in, BY, dash one. I brought them up on the computer here. What's a BY1B chrome base? Okay, we don't need that. There's another one there. It's an iambic, electronic iambic keyer. What that does is, I think it'll send your call on that. I have to look at it. Yeah, that's the one. That's the most common one, Bill, that many, many people have learned on. And it works just as well as anything out there is, as far as I'm concerned.
How, I see you have to buy the cable to hook it up separate. Always make it, interesting.
It's a quarter inch plug to, a stereo plug to plug it in the back of your radio, and I think it's got, three wires on it. Yep, three wires, red and the white, and, shield is all I got on mine, and it plugs right in the back of almost every radio I ever seen, Bill. So if you got a quarter inch stereo plug, you're in business. What do they want for the plug with, let's see, easy hook, $12.95? Well, you know, that's up to you there. Might be worth it just not to have to fool with it.
If I was going to go in for a penny, I might as well go in for a pound and get the cable with it.
The barter, you might as well be a grizzly, kind of like Chad. I haven't heard hide nor hair of that sucker lately. I talked to him the other day. Oh, here's an MFJ. All right. TN MFJ 564.
Yeah, that was a few dollars cheaper. From Gigaparts, it's $131. And $148 from an eBay seller, and there's several of them out there.
HRO's got it for $129, and it looks like a clone of the Venture. And they got it in deluxe chrome base CW iambic paddle. And it's $129. I just go ahead and get the chrome one there at HRO.
I don't see any reason to not. I mean, it looks as good as any of them, and I'm assuming, yeah, it takes the same. Oh, the hookup cable for it. Well, it's still three wires, $12.95, so kind of like buying this one and getting the cable for free compared to the other one. And they do have it in stock in Atlanta, Georgia.
All it is a contact closure, Bill, and as I see it there, there's two posts, and they have a set screw in them, and you just loosen that up and run that set screw in and out to adjust your gap on your points, and you know, it's not rocket science. It's just a key closure, and there's two contacts there, and you should never have to touch them, really. You don't have to burnish them or anything, because it's zero switching on these new radios. There's not hardly any measurable current even goes through them, so they should never wear out.
I wouldn't think so. I wouldn't think it'd be a lot to wear out unless you maybe broke the little paddles. But I think I could cut me some out of a tied jug and make me some new ones if I had to, or a 5-gallon bucket.
Show you how simple they can be. If you key in MFJ 561, you'll see how simple they really can be. And these guys that go out and do parks on the air and summits on the air and that, they use these little things and strap them to their knees a lot of times. They're just a contact closure. And but I've tried to run a bug before, those Vibraplex, and they're real expensive, and they are a bugger. I mean, I have a real fine operator, but I think you'd be very happy with that one, that MFJ 564 chrome.
That's kind of what I'm leaning toward. I don't think that 561 would be what I'm looking for, and I should get my book here, and I ordered several things from ARRL, and I should get it here probably middle of next week, and then I'll commence to getting serious on buying one of these. See what I like this MFJ 564. It looks like it's all right.
I'm certain it would be, Bill, and if I wouldn't tell you that, it looks exactly like the duplicate of a Venture. Well, pretty much so. But again, it's just a contact closure. So it should be just fine. When you get really good, see, you can go out and spend $400, $500, $600 on a Bugatti, or even $1,000. I don't see that, although mine isn't exactly cheap. It's N3 Zulu November. Yeah, I'll key that in and take a look at those keys. They're pretty nice, and they have a wide selection of them. Mine is made out of bronze, and I just love it. I don't have to mess with it, the contacts or nothing. It just goes. Does that Morse code book you're getting, does it have a CD or however they do it nowadays, tapes? I know Gordon West, WB6NOA, has done it for 100 years. I think he might be a silent key now. But he made a lot of good Morse code tapes on different speeds, and WB6NOA. So you never want to be scared of his stuff. He's pretty good.
We're listening to his audio book on Amateur Extra class right now. I just finished chapter 1 of 6, about an hour and a half worth of listening. Did that today. I just started it, and I'm going to listen to it and probably order his book to go along with it and see about getting that done. My goal is to get that done the first half of this year, if I can do it.
This is M0TR with the W4 WHM. Bill, I have no doubts in my mind that you can do that standing on your head, knowing the kind of job you do. But it's kind of like I told a guy once, I took the general test years ago, and what was his call? He was over in Parsons, Kansas, and he said, he convinced me to go ahead and take the CW portion, and I said, well, I'm not ready for it. Well, in fact, after I passed the Tech Plus, which was 5 words a minute, he wanted me to take the test for general, and I hadn't read the book. I just received the book that day, and I took it, and I missed it by one, and he talked me into taking it again, and I took it, and I missed it by one. I said, no more, Mort. I'm not going to do it. It was like $6, and that was a lot of money to me back then. And I went back and I read the book and I come back and I passed it. But he thought it means I was an electrician. I ought to know that. Well, RF's a different world. I am no expert on RF. Don't claim to be. And I rebuilt an amplifier once and I enjoyed the learning of it. But Bill N4IQ told me, he says, Tom, you don't want to get across those anodes on those tubes. There's a lot of dead in that box.
Yeah, I can imagine, and I would have been right frustrated if I'd have missed it by one twice. I was lucky when I took my general. I got it first try, and they at the Athens Club, they don't tell you how many you miss. They just tell you if you pass or fail, but I know how many I missed. I watched them grade it from about 20 foot away. And, so I'm pleased. But yeah, I'm a try for this Amateur Extra, and I don't think it'll be too awful bad. The first audio book, I've listened to one audio book, and it just sort of warped my brain on it. And there's several of us that are using this Gordon West book, and we're all studying at the same time and plan on testing together probably in April. So we'll just have to see how it goes.
I was foolish to try it, but I had been through so many different electrical and electronic schools, and I knew a lot about radar. I knew a lot about electronic countermeasures because I ran those, and I knew a lot about acoustical warfare and things like that, magnetic anomaly detection, you name it, that involves submarines. But it's like anything else. You got to go through a school and you got to study it. You got to read the book. So, like a fool, I went in and he talked me into trying it. He was an old timer and a very, very good man. And it's just not something I should even have tried. Well, when I read the book, I passed it the very next time. And the hardest one was the advanced test. Even before DJW will tell you that, and he's light years smarter than I am. And it was a bugger. And then the extras, I remember, had a lot of satellite stuff in it and things that I never really used, but I had to study it and memorize it, of course, in order to get past that. But I'd always take the written and then go back, like I took the general, and I never thought I'd ever get 13 words a minute Morse code. And I studied, and I went back and took that and passed that. And then I got the advanced. Well, I wanted those extra 25 kilohertz that was offered on the extra class, because that's where the DX usually ducked down into there to get away from all the rest of the crowd. And there was a crowd there, but it was all very disciplined. That not being the case now. But at any rate, I wanted that, and so I studied that 20 words a minute. And I passed it on the first time, but barely. And I copied over 100 letters in a row, I think is the way I passed it. But I didn't get 100% copy, but I got probably 98% of it. And I said, I'll never use that stuff again, and that's not what I called it. And, I missed it. And then I seen that it was a much better mode and more solid and much more DX there. And I thought, well, after you spend all that time learning it, Tom, you might as well use it now. I enjoy it. I really do. I don't very often carry on a long conversation, but occasionally I talked on 30 meters the other day, and it's just all CW. And there was an old boy out in Arizona, and I talked to him for quite a little while, probably 15 minutes. And boy, you had about 26, 28 words a minute. You get tired, at least I do, being my age. But it was really enjoyable. He was telling me about the weather there, this and that, and the family, his age. But most of the time, it's really enjoyable, Bill. As you get better at it, you'll really enjoy it. So don't get frustrated. Holler at me if I can be of any help to you.
I don't think I'll get frustrated, because it's something I want to do, not something I have to do. So kind of like with the amateur, the extra class. Main reason I want to do it is so I can do exams for general class, and because I'm a VE, but I can only do technician exams, which is the bulk of what we get. But there's always one or two in there that are taking the general or extra class, and I don't get to sign them papers, and that always aggravates me. So I'm going to get that and learn Morse code and just have another little tool in the toolbox.
Yeah, I think that's great. Good attitude, Bill. I was a VE for a while, and I got so mad when they dropped Morse code that I just give it up. But I was a VE examiner for several years and don't do it anymore, but it's really a great thing for you guys to devote your time. Gary's really been good at it, KI4DOS, and you know, fulfilled a lot of kids' dreams and a lot of adults' dreams. So that's a nice thing to do. I went ahead after that and I took the they replaced the first class FCC license. It's called a general license, and it's a lifetime license. And I went down to Carthage, Missouri, and they had three examiners there, and one of them's from the FCC. And I went ahead and took that, but you know, I had more trouble with the Global Maritime Distress System than I did. The big test was 900 and some questions, and the out of those, they give you 100 questions, and then the GMDSS, boy, they had some questions on there, really made you scratch your noggin. Now, it wouldn't to somebody like N4IQ or, you know, an engineer, but to me, I had to really think about that a lot. You know, if you was out on a ship and it had so many passengers on it and the ship was a certain size, and if you was transmitting this many watts with this many batteries and they were a certain amp hours, how long could you transmit? And you know, I mean, questions that I knew I'd never use, but you had to pass that 20 question test before they give you the general class FCC exam.
VHM. Yeah, that sounds like that's a lot of math. I hope they let you have a pen and paper or calculator or something to calculate that battery life. Otherwise, that'd be a lot of fingers and toes for me.
OTR N4WHM. Yeah, it was, and that was some of the the easier stuff. But they had replaced, I got a copy of the last transmission of Morse code that the military ever made. It was made by a Coast Guard ship in the Great Lakes, I think on Lake Michigan. I still got a copy of it, and I copied it when they transmitted it. But, yeah, it was kind of difficult in its own way. But it involved passenger ships and things like that. But they had replaced Morse code, and they used to always have to monitor that from the time of the Titanic, you know. I think it was 500 kilohertz. But at any rate, they went to the Global Maritime Distress System, and now it's all satellite, which is much more reliable, of course. And so you had to do that and pass that. Far less questions. And now I think there's over 1,000 questions, 11 something. And then they had, I started to do the radar endorsement, but I didn't have the book, and I learned my lesson. Years before, as I told you about not reading the book and trying to take a test. So I didn't get my radar endorsement, and I wish I had. There was one old man there, and his name was, or his call was W-O-0-X, or W-0-O-X. Whoops is what they called him. And he had an old, I think it was an underwriter's typewriter in a black case. And he pulled it out, and he took his second-class FCC test, which was 25 words a minute Morse code. And that old gentleman was up in his 70s, and he never missed a single letter on a typewriter bill. Yeah, I was impressed, and I was talking to him. And underneath that typewriter in a big envelope, he had all of the ships that he'd been on all over the world, and who the master of the ship was, the captain, and who signed off on him as the, you used to have to have a radio operator on all of the ships, and he was one of them, and he was going to Bahrain at the time, I'll never forget that.
And he had a lot of interesting travels in his lifetime. Those kind of jobs just don't exist today, unfortunately. More and more everything's going to, you work from your desk in your spare bedroom and talk to everybody over the video camera.
Bill, my alarm's going to go off here. I really enjoyed it this evening. Thanks for staying in there. I'm sorry I lost you earlier. But it was really neat talking to Dave, too, over there on 10 meters. I didn't have any idea we could do that. But in about 3 minutes, my heart pill alarm's going to go off, and I need to go up and get those because they have a 12-hour half-life. Oh, shoot. But, you know, it was only 50 or 54 degrees today. It's 44 here now, but 66% humidity. Man, it was cold out there when I went out there to gather eggs and water the chickens and feed the chickens and all of that. You wouldn't have thought it would have been, but it just went right through you. So I put on coveralls, my heavy coat, and a mask there. I did get rid of the mask. I didn't need that. But it was colder than what the ambient temperature said it was out there. Anyway, take care, Bill, and I'll catch you down the line in 4WHM and 0TR73. Bill.
Please, Tom. Enjoyed the conversation as always. Learned something as always and had a laugh or two, so I couldn't ask for much more. Tell Miss Bernice I said hello, and y'all have a great night. Don't get out on the ice this weekend and try to go slide around the driveway and fall and sprain your ankle or nothing. So, y'all be good. 73 is my friend. M4WHM, I'm clear.